A lot of times people ask me the question, well, what's it like to grow up in a preacher's home? Well, I'm not going to answer that question today, but I can give you a window into what it was like for my nieces. I have several nieces and nephews, but I have some nieces in Dallas and really in Oklahoma now, and they're twins, okay? And they also grew up in a preacher's home, okay? And when they were little, they would practice singing and leading worship songs using sign language. So I want to show you a little video of Laurie and Landra, my nieces, when they were little. This is what they did. Check it out. That video never gets old. Sometimes I'll just send it to one of them up and just say, it never gets old. It never gets old. So I love that. It's just so great. So obviously growing up, you know, as twins, you know, you encounter this kind of different dynamic. And one time Landra got invited to go to this concert by one of her best friends, but Laurie, her twin sister, didn't get invited. So Laurie went to her room, and she's very creative. She majored in art in college, and she likes to write, and she wrote down the words to this song after she got the news that she didn't get the invite to the concert. Here it is, right? My twin got invited to a concert, and she never bothered to invite me. She says my BFF will be jealous. And then I said in my quiet tone, jealousy, jealousy, please stop, stop bothering me. Jealousy, jealousy, please stop, stop bothering me. Is that great? My twin said it was some big prank. How could I ever believe her? I suddenly sank in envy, and that's all I really got to say. Jealousy, jealousy, please, please stop bothering me. Jealousy, jealousy, please stop, stop bothering me. Now she said it's all she had to say, but there's a third stanza. I already have enough troubles of my own. She's 11 years old. Please don't make it worse. What am I going to do now? I guess I will count to three and say it all over again. Jealousy, jealousy, please stop, stop bothering me. Jealousy, jealousy, please stop, stop bothering me. How about those lyrics, right? It's amazing. It doesn't matter how old you are, what the issue is, jealousy, envy, basically the same thing as we describe them in our vernacular today. Jealousy and envy, they won't stop bothering us. It's all around us. Aristotle talked about jealousy years ago. He said it's stirred in us when those have what we ought to have. Shakespeare called it the green-eyed monster, right? But we all deal with jealousy and envy. It's a very negative, but also a very tricky and sometimes hidden emotion. Have you noticed that? Sometimes jealousy will masquerade itself in the form of criticism or constructive criticism. Sometimes jealousy masquerades in the form of judgmentalism. Sometimes jealousy is simply reflective of the fact that we're insecure. And jealousy gets really underneath our skin and in our heart and our bloodstream when we start comparing. Have you noticed that? We start comparing. We have, I don't know, probably half of the people here today are single. A lot of people who are single thinking, golly, if I could just get married and be married like my friends, then I would be happy. We have other half of people who are married. We start comparing. If I just had their looks, I would be happy. I wish I had their looks. I want their looks. So jealousy and envy leads to coveting and wanting these things. And it makes us resentful of someone's looks or of someone's success in their business. And they're in the same business we are. And we don't think they deserve the success they have. So we'll find something to critique them and to criticize them. But really what's underneath that, it's jealousy, jealousy, please stop bothering me, right? Now, last week we started looking at a chapter that we're going to look at for many weeks now, Luke chapter 15. In Luke 15, there are three dynamic stories. And in Luke 15, verse 1 and 2, we can see the undercurrent of jealousy. Look at Luke chapter number 15. The verse is on the screen in front of you. If you bought a Bible, just keep it there. Open it up there. It says, dishonest tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus' sermons. But this caused complaints from the Jewish religious leaders and the experts on Jewish law because he was associating with such despicable people, even eating with them. So what's going on here? Jesus is the new kid on the block. He's the new rabbi who's bringing the new word. And there are people and there are crowds that are flocking to him, that are following him, that are talking about how great he is, and no one understands the word and brings the word like he does, and these throngs of people are following him. And the other religious leaders who are in his same business, these other rabbis, are what? Jealous. So they start criticizing and fault-finding with Jesus, hiding behind religiosity. Well, if he was really as righteous and holy and godly, then he wouldn't hang out with these notorious, despicable sinners, these unclean people. So what was getting at these folks? They were losing their power. They were losing their power. They were losing their popularity. And they were jealous. They didn't like it. And we're the same way. We see someone who's more popular than us in school, and I wish I was popular like that, and we begin to resent them and hate them or try to imitate them to get there. We open up our phone and we look at our Instagram feed and we just see these people and having the perfect life, and man, did they ever work? Or did they live in the Caribbean Sea? I mean, it's like, really? Always smiling, always working out, always crushing it. They have got the secret and I don't. And they're just so jealous. There's nothing like Christmas cards to the jealousy, isn't it? My son just graduated from Yale. My daughter just got into MIT. And you're thinking, I hope mine gets a GED, right? And you're like, whoa. People posting their workouts and their biceps and triceps and their six pack. And you're like, wow, I just can't measure up. And we get jealous and envious. It happens to the Pharisees, these religious leaders with Jesus. It happens to us. This is an old, old story. Cain was jealous of Abel, he killed him. Joseph's brothers were jealous of him, they sold him into human trafficking. Saul was jealous, the most powerful man in the land, was jealous of David, he pursued him and tried to kill him. Jealousy. It causes us to do dangerous and crazy things, and it fills us with this envy and this resentment. It's not the way God has designed us to live. It's not. Jealousy. It eats at your soul. It eats at your soul. It makes you feel less than, incomplete, and insecure. But the good news is, God loves you too much to let you stay where you are. God loves us too much to allow jealousy and envy to ruin and destroy our lives. James said it in James 3:16. He said, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there's disorder and every kind of evil." God doesn't want us to go there. He doesn't want us to open these doors of chaos and open these doors that could allow every kind of evil to flood into our life, something that we think that is innocent as simply being jealous. So check it out. Back to Luke 15. Let's see what happens next. Jesus tells yet another story, another illustration to these jealous, uptight, judgmental people. He says, a woman has 10 valuable coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and look into every corner of the house and sweep every nook and cranny until she finds it? And then won't she call in her friends and neighbors to rejoice with her? In the same way, I love this, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents. And the word repent means to change your mind, to have a complete change of mind and change of direction in your life. So someone who was running away from God or hiding from God turns towards him. They repent and say, I want to follow him. I want to be forgiven. So the story is a great story. It's a story, once again, of searching and seeking. It was common during the time of Christ for someone who was married to get 10 coins for a wedding gift, and they were valuable. So this lady loses one coin, and what does she do? She searches everywhere, under every chair, under every couch, in every closet, and every nook and cranny and rug, and she has her light out, and she's looking, and she's searching, and she's asking people to help her on the search because she has to find this one very, very valuable coin. And Jesus is saying, hey, that's what anyone would do. And he's saying, that's what I'm doing. That's what God is doing. God is searching for us. He is looking for us. He is arranging circumstances in our life so that we will realize that we need to turn and change our mind and come to him and come to our senses. Remember last week, he told the story about the sheep and the shepherd. If you have 100 sheep and one wanders off way over here, the shepherd leaves the 99 to search. Search. Again, one of the things that makes Christianity so different from all other religions and all other philosophies is you have this God who is there and this God who seeks us, this God who searches for us, that we might be found, that we might know him, that we might experience him. We were singing about it earlier, Jeff was, the overwhelming, reckless love of God that pursues us. And when she finds a coin, she's like, all right, she's filled with joy. Joy. And what does she do? She calls her neighbors. She calls her friends. Hey, I found the coin that I lost. Come rejoice with me. The shepherd brings a lost sheep back on his shoulder, calls up his friends and neighbors. Hey, that sheep that I lost is now found. Hey, rejoice with me. He's addressing, again, these religious leaders that are jealous of him, jealous of his crowd, jealous of Jesus' success, jealous of his popularity, jealous of his teaching. He's trying to explain to him why he's come, to reach these people who are far away from God. And he's saying to them, hey, rejoice. Like the shepherd who found the sheep, rejoice. Like the lady who found the valuable coin, rejoice with me. All these folks that are coming to understand God and his forgiveness and his redemption and his plan, come rejoice with me. I have to ask the question, why in these stories? Why did the shepherd go after the sheep? Why did the lady search for that coin? It's because of value, isn't it? The value of one lost, wayward person. The value of one person who's hiding and is underneath the shadow of darkness. And God values us so much. He values us that he seeks after us. He searches for us that we can be found. We are made in God's very image. God sent his Son to live, to die, to rise for us, to show us his power, to show us his love. It's amazing. It's overwhelming. God takes that initiative. And he does it in so many creative ways that we might realize that he's seeking us. You're of great value to God. Your life matters to God. The ditch that you're in that seems like you can't get out of matters to God. Your next step matters to God because you're valuable to him. And when we turn to God, isn't it great? There's great joy. There's a big party, right? A super party, like we're having Super Bowl Sunday. There's a super party going on in heaven. It's joy. So I thought about this as it relates to jealousy, okay? How does this relate to jealousy? How does this relate to you and I overcoming jealousy, fighting jealousy? Well, if jealousy eats at your soul, joy feeds your soul. Joy feeds your soul. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The fruit of knowing God, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Joy. Joy is what feeds our soul. I think about C.S. Lewis, that brilliant scholar and professor from Oxford, and he was an atheist for many years, and he was searching for something, longing for something. He used the German word Sehnsucht to describe this longing for something that he never could find. And he finally started to turn back to God and to believe that there might be a God. And then he started to turn back to Christianity. And finally, when he found Christ, he said he was surprised by joy, how this met this yearning, this longing in his heart that was always there and never went away. Joy is the antidote for jealousy. The joy of knowing that God has actually pursued me, though I do not deserve it, that God has pursued me. The joy of to know that I am valuable in God's eyes and that my life matters to Him and how I live my life matters to Him. The joy to know that I've been found by Him. The joy to know that God has forgiven me. The joy to know that I'm now in God's family. The joy to know that one day, by His grace, I will live with Him forever and ever. That brings joy to my life. And so I should rejoice when that happens to other people. I should rejoice in little things that happen in their life. If someone gets a raise, if someone gets a promotion, if someone makes cheerleader and you don't, and someone makes a team and someone gets into college and whatever it is, or someone has this new feat that they showed you on Instagram and you can't do that, man, I'm just going to be glad for them. I'm going to be happy for them. I'm going to be jealous. I'm going to fight jealousy with joy. Jesus said to what? To rejoice with those who are rejoicing and to mourn with those who are mourning? I'm going to start trying to do that. Because jealousy is a dead-end street. Jealousy is poison. Jealousy leads to chaos and all kinds of evil. And I don't want that. I don't want it for me. I don't want it for you. God doesn't want it for us. So let's fight jealousy with joy. Let's celebrate when people are successful. Let's celebrate and encourage and write notes and send texts and post whatever you do on social media, thumbs up or like or what. I don't do the junk, but you do, you know, right? It's great. Encourage them. And maybe you need to take a fast from social media if that's what's feeding your jealousy and envy, and not just take a fast from it. You probably don't have to have it. You will probably make it without it. My dad's latest piece of technology is a fax machine, and he's doing okay. He still says that. Can you fax that to me? Yes, I can. Take a fast from some of that stuff. Start praying and asking God, I want to find contentment in you. God, I want to be real, and though I tend to be jealous, we all do, or envious, we all do. Now, I want to be happy for other people. I want to find joy in what's going on in their life. But I most of all want to find joy with you. Joy knowing that I am loved. Joy knowing that I am valuable in your sight. Jealousy, please stop bothering me. We're going to replace that jealousy this week, today, right? With joy.